have a sunrise service, free biscuits. I'll suppose that everybody here will be there. Bring your throw blankets if you get cold. I'm trying to remember. I had to tell myself like 14 times as I was sitting right there, slow down, slow down, slow down, slow down, make announcements, make announcements, make announcements. Because I didn't preach Sunday. I don't know if y'all don't know this or not. Like, I love to preach. I don't know. Some preacher, I don't know if they like it or not, but I love it. And it's if I don't get to do it, I don't feel like, I feel like I'm not breathing. And like, you know, Sunday was not all right. But Sunday night was really not all right. But then I got here, I just started writing down messages. So I got like 10. I got like 10. So somebody's getting preached to. Melissa's going to get saved again. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'll be honest with you. I tell her some of the stuff that I think about preaching. Most of the time she's heard all the stuff. Take your Bibles, go to Matthew chapter 28. Something I've never seen in the Scriptures before. You want to hear something that I've never heard. I've never heard preached. I've never heard anybody even attempt to preach on it. Now, I ain't saying they hadn't. Some of y'all have got preacher daddies and preacher brothers and preacher family members, and you're looking at me like my daddy did. Well, good, good. But I ain't never heard it. And you're going to hear some repetitive stuff. Tomorrow or Sunday morning, you show up down at the sunrise service, you might hear some of this repeated. But you know what? Our gospel, our faith, our belief is repetitive. It is repetitive. You know why it's repetitive? Because it's so good, you got to say it. You got to say it over and over and over. I mean, I don't want to not say it. I don't want to not talk about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Especially around this time, I want people to know my Savior's alive. There was a great cathedral. It burned, and they were trying to take relics out of there. And I'm not knocking the relics, and I'm not knocking that. But I'm going to be honest with you. Jesus Christ is not in that building. He didn't die when it burnt down. He's very much alive. You can be sad because of the building and what it means and the history. But praise God, I would be the first one to say, but hey, the one we worship is alive. He's not in a building. Oh, never mind. I'll tell you, that's hard to watch, but I'll be honest with you. All the buildings are going to be here when we're gone. Y'all ready? Let's get in the Word. Matthew 28, verse 1, the last chapter of Matthew. I would title this one, it says, "Don't sell out your experience with Jesus." So don't sell out. You're going to have an opportunity to sell out. I don't know about many people here. Well, I would say on a Wednesday night, we got a good group of y'all that are saved. Amen? But you're going to have other experiences with Jesus. The devil's going to want you to sell out on those. He's going to want you to say, nah, let's not do that. Let's get in the Word of God. Y'all ready? Y'all there? I've killed as much time as I can to get y'all to Matthew 28, verse 1. "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher." They always list Mary first. Mary Magdalene, not to Mary, the mother of Jesus, but Mary Magdalene, she was the first one to the tomb. Seven devils when Jesus met her, the first one and the last one at the tomb. The first one got up on the Sabbath. As soon as the Sabbath ends, she's the first one there. She's the last one to leave. If you wrote her stuff down, she'd be the worst one. Seven devils. Seven means completion. Her life was a complete wreck when Jesus met her. Everybody else had a pretty normal life going on. Some were fishermen, some were tax collectors, some were royalty, some were wives of royalty, some were married, was planning on marrying Joseph, was going to have a good, decent, little small town life. God, but a little girl who her life was wrecked was waiting. I mean, her faith could have died when Jesus died on the cross. She could have said, well, where was this heaven, and why did it end here? And because there's a lot of questions there. But I think she kept saying to herself, I don't know where he is, but the devils aren't in me. So until I know where he is, I'm not going anywhere. Golly, we're so quick to leave everything now. In 2019, we leave everything. We were talking about that today. No commitment. I join, never show up. I'm in, never be here. I want to be a part of it, never be a part of it. She said, man, I got my sins forgiven and my devils vacated. I will never, ever, ever leave you. Golly, Tom. Whew. Y'all see that? I don't know if y'all ever get tired of hearing that kind of stuff. I'm sorry, but that right there, just that winds my clock, man. That gets me every time. I mean, it gets me every time. Because I just see her, man. I see her all that whole Saturday. She's like, my Jesus is down there in that tomb, and I'm not down there. But the minute I get to go, I'm going to be right down there. They can call me crazy and call me whatever they want to call me. But praise God, I know where I'll be because I know where I was. Some of y'all put on a good front, but where were you before Jesus met you? You can play it cool in here, but where was he before he met you? I mean, we keep it clean, and we keep it neat, and we can, well, I ain't going to go down. I don't want to get myself. I'm wrecked because I didn't have nothing before Jesus, and I guarantee you I ain't going to have nothing after him. I don't have anything. It's all I got. It's all I got. It's all she had. No plan A, no plan B. Just I met Jesus on my worst day, and that's all I got. You got that? Man, if you got that, man, it's all right to get wrecked every once in a while. It's all right for everybody to see the mascara run and for you to get weak and cry and just every once in a while shout. It'd be all right because you know what? They weren't there the day that Jesus saved you. Hey, they weren't there when Jesus came through when nobody else came through for you. Golly, I want to move on to. And behold, there was a great earthquake. For the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. My gosh. Everybody's worried. Everybody's afraid. But guess what? God in heaven's not. God dispatched. Man, I wish I could grasp. Angels were sitting on edge. Like, just say something. Go. And this, whoom, he hit the earth so hard that it shook, rolls the stone away and sits on it. You don't sit on anything unless you got power over it. Man, I don't know about you. When I read the Bible sometimes, I'm thinking, man, God is cooler than anything this world has to offer. He's got an angel that shoots down, causes an earthquake, rolls a stone away, and sits on the thing, and sits there and goes, man, he ain't in there. Woo! There's 10,000 more just like me who would have loved to have been dispatched at Calvary. But we didn't know. You get it? Golly, it's good. That's some rich stuff right there. Some rich stuff. And he sat upon it, and his countenance was like lightning. Can y'all describe that? I don't know how Matthew got that one. What did he look like? Lightning. I've only seen lightning like 3 or 4 times. No, I'm not. I've seen lightning, you know, in the sky. I've seen lightning hit stuff. I've seen lightning hit power poles. I've never seen anybody described like that. Man, God is, that's an angel. That's not God. That's something he created. And when man got pen and paper and put it down, said, describe his countenance. Lightning. He looked like a bolt of white hot lightning. We play it cool here, man. We walk into heaven, we are going to be, our jaws are going to hit the ground. We're going to be like, you know what I mean? I mean, it's going to be, we're going to be 800 years to 1,000 years just going. Right? Look. Yeah. What? And Ezekiel will be sitting there going, I told you. I told you. I was trying to write down what a lion, eagle, bull-headed man looked like. I don't know. God, I don't know if y'all have ever read Ezekiel. And then he put some wheels on it. I'm sorry. Were they spinners or were they 20? No, I'm sorry. What are the wheels? I don't know. Sorry, y'all get that later. His raiment was white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. These soldiers, they were put there, they sealed the tomb, and they were strong, powerful men. They were probably prime. They were probably in prime condition to fight anybody who was going to come and take, because they knew if they get that body, then this thing will never die. He will never, they'll be a martyr. You guard that tomb. The strongest of the strongest, the minute he arrives, are dead men. Boom. Faced, listen, the strongest person you know, the most powerful person you know, with the most influence that you know, the minute they get in the presence of God, will fall on their face as dead men. The ones who said, I'll never do this and I don't care about that, they will quiver and fall like dead men in front of God. You can't get in the presence of godly stuff and not fall apart. Not fall apart. These soldiers were like scared to the point of falling down and passing out. That's awesome. That's your God. That's God dispatching one angel. So are you worshiping angels? No, I'm just worshiping God because He can create something that's not as powerful as He is, but is more powerful than anything that we can conceive of. And that's just something He made. And this was the declaration that Jesus Christ is no longer in the grave. Amen? Verse 5. The angel answered and said unto the women, fear not. Oh God, you're so good. God says that a lot in the Bible. Some people say it says it 365 times. I'm not sure. I've never really done that math and counted out every one of them, but I will say this, fear not. God always says it in the times when you're saying, I have a right to be afraid. Amen? I have absolutely every right in the world to be afraid. One, it's still just barely light outside. Two, the tomb is rolled away. The soldiers are laying here like dead men, and we can't even explain what you are. Amen? This, I don't know about you, but my fear meter is going off. It's off the charts. Amen? When I got up this morning, I thought I'd come down here and clean up a body. And now I'm over here, but God's first thing is, angels speak for God. God would say to them, fear not. Don't be afraid. The thing that you worship, the God that you worship and follow and believe in and have trusted is stronger than anything you have to worry about. You might want to write that one down. Let's break it down. I'm sorry, I don't want to. Whatever you're afraid of right now in your life, you put that name, you put that title, I don't know what it is. You need to put right next to that in a little period, whatever, however you do your thing, and write down and say, God, when I'm out of control, when I'm scared, and when I don't know how it's all going to work out, God said it is finished, and He's in control, complete control. Does anybody else have to remind ourselves of that quite a bit? We get a circumstance or a situation that pops into our life, a financial, a health, a physical, a mental, a family member, something, and all of a sudden you're like, you're blowing up your experience over what God did and who God is. Amen? Put it this way, everybody that loved God and walked with Him are locked in rooms right now, hiding and scared. They're scared to death of what's going to happen to them next. We're going to be crucified. They're going to come get us. All those Jewish leaders are going to, they ain't going to be done with Jesus. They're going to come and get us next. They're hiding. A few women come down to the tomb and we're going to take care of Jesus. Maybe they won't kill us. Man, the church is not looking good right now. But the church ain't never been better. Listen, the church don't look good right now, but the church ain't never been better. The thing that makes the church, the Holy Spirit, Jesus has been resurrected. They don't even know it. He's about ready to deliver the Holy Spirit, which makes us got one part Godhead inside the church. It's clocking along just like He planned, even though nobody knows it. Nobody knows it. God, y'all want the best verse in the Bible? It's right up there. What's this one? Keepers did not became as dead men. The angel answered and said unto them, "Fear not, ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified." Past tense was. "He is not here, for He is risen." That's bad. Golly. Every once in a while, take your Bible out, turn to Matthew 28, verse 6, and just read. "He is not here, for He is risen." When the devil's whispering, "Do it, end it, quit, give up, you ain't no good." He is not here. He is risen. He's got power over death, hell, and the grave. If He's got power over that, He can handle anything else that's going to come down in my life. And that. Y'all are a cool bunch, man. Y'all are a cool bunch. I love preaching to you, but see, y'all are a cool bunch. Because every Wednesday and Sunday, y'all sit here like, "That'll be good when I need it." Y'all are playing it so cool, man. If y'all, I'll take every one of y'all to Vegas. Y'all got good poker faces. Everything's good with me, brother. You got 10 things. If you left here and you say, you get on the phone, people, you tell them exactly what they're doing, like this and like that, and they're doing this and they're doing that. Amen. And you ain't told Him yet, not one time. You ain't never told all them circumstances and those issues. He's not here, for He's risen. Amen. He's not here. He's not in that grave. My God that I serve beat death, hell, and the grave. He can beat every circumstance that I got. Good faces, y'all. I ain't going through nothing. He's not here. And He said, "Come see the place where the Lord lay." Come see. The place where the Lord lay. Come on, look at it. Look, it's over. Come look at it. "And go quickly and tell His disciples that He is risen from the dead. And behold, He goeth before you into Galilee. There shall you see Him. Lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring the disciples word." I can't wait till Sunday morning. I got something on that. So I'm picking up right there, and I'm going to preach that Sunday morning at 6:45. You better be there, because I ain't never going to preach on a microphone. I ain't preaching nowhere else. I'm going to preach right down there by that lake. And if you're there, you're going to hear it. If you're not, you're going to hear about it, because it's good. Amen? It's good. But here's what I come to tell you tonight. Don't sell out. Amen? I've never heard this preach, never even thought about it. Listen to this. And as they went to tell the disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, "All hail." And they came and held Him by the feet and worshipped Him. Then said Jesus unto them, "Be not afraid. Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." Verse 11. Oh, that's cool too. Sorry. That was just Jesus showing up resurrected. I just skipped over that. Sorry. Y'all don't mind, so I'll just keep going. Verse 11. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city. Who? The watch. Who's the watch? Do y'all know who I'm talking about? Listen, it's important that y'all get this. These are the guards. These are the Roman soldiers who were given the task to guard the tomb of Jesus. After all this was over, after they know all this happened, after they know it, they don't have an idea. They don't have something that they think happened. They know what happened. Amen? I want y'all to see that. Some of the watch, verse 11, some of the watch came into the city and showed unto the chief priests all the things that were done. Did y'all hear what they came in and they said, this, God, y'all ain't, Rebecca, do you see it? I mean, these guys have got all their soldier stuff. They all walk in and they're like, these guys are shook. You don't believe what happened. We were out there and we were guarding and we're doing our sentry thing, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. This guy's there. This guy's probably doing this and doing that. We're talking about this. And next thing you know, this dude shows up. He shoots down, earthquake, lightning, rolls. We were so scared. We fell down like dead men. We had no power. They're telling the religious leaders, and the religious leaders who crucified Jesus are going, yeah, because they hate Jesus whether he's alive, whether he's dead, or whether he's resurrected. They just want their... They just wanted the power. They were jealous. They wanted all that stuff, but they didn't want Jesus. I don't want none of the stuff. I just want Jesus. They're telling this story, and they're pouring their hearts out. These are awesome men. These are men who've got some honor, who's got some valor. They might be rotten, so I don't know, but they had to go through some stuff to be a soldier. And they're telling, they come down there, they got no reason to lie. They got no reason to make it up. Matter of fact, they're probably going to lose their life because they did let the body get loose. And they just told them exactly what happened. And the religious leaders didn't even skip a beat. My God, I'm scared for these people. And when they were assembled, the elders, listen to this, with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers. What in the world is that? That's awful. Let's get together in the sanctuary, in the temple, in the maha, whatever religious thing you're doing, let's get together. And we know, we just heard the Jesus who was working miracles, the Jesus that we know was the Son of God, the Jesus we put in the tomb, the Jesus that now apparently is resurrected. And oh my gosh, what do we need to do? Let's give them some money where they'll shut up. Wow. If you ever sat on a committee where the answer is, let's pay these people off where they'll shut up about Jesus, get off the committee. Sorry, I resign. I can't do that. Amen? But here's the scary part. Because I want to say, that scares me. Those people scare me. But this is even more scarier than they are. Saying, say ye, his disciples came. Go back to verse 12. And when they were assembled, the elders had taken counsel. They gave them large money unto the soldiers. Verse 13, saying, say ye his disciples came by night and stole him away while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So they took the money and did as they were taught. And this is the saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Until this day. And I started thinking, I mean, man, these men, they sold their experience with Jesus. Man, I wrote four things. Your experience with Christ, is it for sale? That's the first thing I wrote. Is that for sale? Listen, I'm being honest with you. You're going to come into this church. Whether if you're saved, you already know this. Listen, I had an experience with Jesus. I can't even imagine selling that. I can't even imagine somebody saying, that experience, that God speaking to you, God telling you you need more than just what you have. This is, you're accountable for your sins. You're accountable for your family's sin. Kevin, you need me. You know about me, but you do not know me. I could not imagine. How much is that worth? Could you imagine these guys when they're counting out the money and putting it in their hands? What would it gain? What would it profit a man to gain the whole world? Yeah, lose his soul. Thank you. We're just going to tell this story. I don't care how many times they told it. Every time they told it, they would know in here. I knew. Listen, I knew about Jesus since I was 8 years old. Every time I told a story and I would say something about church, there was something in here that would go, Kevin, you know. You know He's real. You can swallow it if you want to. You can pretend if you want to. But it's real. Could you imagine if they lived 20 more years, 30 more years, 40 more years? They were just sitting there going, man, we had this experience, but we can't tell about it. We have to tell this made-up version. We'll look crazy if we tell that story. Man, I wrote this down. Your effectiveness for Christ can go the opposite way for that. Amen? If you don't tell that story, if you don't tell what happened, man, that can affect everybody in your life, everybody in the world. You say, well, it can affect everybody in the world. There's a whole nation who still believes that, you know what? He wasn't resurrected. Somebody snuck in and got the body. There were people out there who needed to hear from the Roman soldiers. There's something bigger and stronger than us came in and got us out of the way, and He's alive. But they didn't. Their effectiveness went the other way. Man, their whole lives, they might be good soldiers. They might get medals. They might win wars. But you know what? Their effectiveness for God is absolute. It's absolute. It has no effect. You say, what does it matter? Okay, it could affect the Jewish community. It could affect the Roman Empire. It could affect a lot of people. Just 120 people changed the whole world, turned it upside down. We're preaching in, what is this? We're here in Soddy Daisy, Tennessee, preaching the gospel. It started with 120 people in the upper room. What do you think if 10 Roman soldiers or 20 Roman soldiers or 100 Roman soldiers said, hey, we were there? Well, what if it don't affect the Roman Empire? What if it don't affect the Jewish Empire? What if it don't affect this? How about just their kids? I wonder how many of them went through their whole life. Daddy, we're so proud of you. You can't. I can see them with the Roman soldier hats and their swords and fighting and saying, Daddy's a warrior. Daddy's a soldier. And on the inside, Daddy's a coward. Daddy's a fool. We have a nice house and we have nice stuff because Daddy sold out and he wouldn't share his experience of what Jesus had done. I was there that day and I was for sale. I sold out on my story. I sold out for a nice home, a nice little chunk of change, and a little bit of future. I got a little bit of future in my pocket. But I'm watching my kids grow up. And all they're hoping for is this Roman soldier stuff and this government. I hate to tell you this. The Roman Empire today doesn't even exist. It don't even exist. But guess who does? That same Jesus that they said, no, we ain't going to tell nobody about it. Amen? I wrote this one down just for the fun of it because I know this is going to be true. They would never forget that day. No, not even in eternity. Every one of those men spending eternity today, I don't know what they did with Jesus. I'm not putting anybody anywhere, but I guarantee you, if they didn't come to repentance, every one of them in eternity today, remember that day. Man, that day, we sold out. That day we seen God work. I would trade this day and every day between this day to go back there and say, there ain't enough amount of money in the world. There's nothing you can give me to not tell that story. Because this life is just as real as that life was, and that life wasn't good without Jesus, and this life is not good without Jesus. You say, how does that affect us, Kevin? Why would you preach this on a Wednesday night? Because I don't know if everybody's saved in here. I'm always preaching like everybody's lost. Number two, there's going to be experiences that you're going to have with God as a Christian, and you're going to have a choice. Shut up, be calm, act like you got it under control, or share it. Share it. Share exactly what he did and how he did it, and don't be ashamed and don't be afraid of what's going to happen to you. That's why I shared it. Because guarantee this, when we get to heaven as believers, when we get into eternity, the only thing you're going to regret is the things you didn't do for God. You ain't going to sit there and go, man, I wish I had more time to watch them Braves. I wish I had more time to watch my family. I wish I had more time to wash those cars. I wish I had more time to get another house. You'd say, man, I wished I told more people about the experience I had with Jesus. Amen? Let's all stand. Say, come get a song.